Iran's foreign minister says Benin can play a leading role in global developments. Iran's oil minister points out that foreign investments in Iran's oil sector stands at $20 billion. Deputy Chairman of Iran's Armed Forces Chiefs of Staff says U.S. is following Iranophobia. And Director of Iran's Nuclear Energy Organization says Iran reaffirms commitments to NPT, but will not give up its nuclear rights. And UN lauds Iran's effective role in fighting drug trafficking. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Iran's foreign minister says Benin, as the current leader of the African Union, can play a significant role in regional and global developments. Ayakra Saleh made a remark on Sunday in a meeting with Benin's foreign minister. Saleh also praised Benin's president, who led a high-ranking delegation to Tehran to attend the NAM summit last September. For his part, Benin foreign minister described Salehi's visit to his country as a sign of willingness to bolster cooperation between the two nations. During the day, the Iranian foreign minister conveyed the Iranian president's message to Benin's chief executive. Elsewhere, the Iranian official laid foundation of Abome Kalavi University in Cotonou. Upon arrival, Iranian foreign minister praised relations between Iran and Benin, saying the two countries have very consolidated ties in political fields. After Benin visit, Salehi has traveled to Ghana to participate in the presidential inauguration ceremony of John Dramani Mahama. During his stay, Salehi will also meet with senior Kenyan officials. Iran on Sunday condoled with the Pakistani government and nation on the death of religious leader Qazi Hussain Ahmad. Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi, in a message to Pakistani counterpart, expressed condolences on the death of the high-ranking cleric. The message read, "Qazi Hussain Ahmad was a gracious scholar and a well-aware politician who served to unify the world of Islam and create unity among Shia and Sunni Muslims." It says, Qazi Hussain Ahmad never feared threats and terrorism in the way of promoting Islam and Islamic Ummah and insisted on the Islamic unity. Iranian oil minister says foreign investments in Iran's upstream oil sector has amounted to $20 billion. Rostam Qasemi said development contracts have been finalized to 23 out of 27 oil fields that Iran shares with neighboring countries. The minister added necessary funds for investments in the shared oil fields were provided from available resources, buyback deals with foreign countries and private sector firms. He said, considering the illegal sanctions imposed against Iran, Tehran should increase its oil output to maintain its production position in the OPEC. Deputy Chairman of the Iranian Armed Forces Chiefs of Staff says a U.S. law to counter Iran's relations with the Latin American states is a new stage of Washington's so-called Iranophobia scenario. The remark was made on Sunday by Brigadier General Masoud Jazairi. Jazairi said because of its imperialist nature, Washington has interpreted the enthusiasm of the Latin American countries to expand relations with Iran. He added, the real threat to the U.S. is the deception and incompetence of the White House leaders. Iran has been seeking to expand relations with Latin American countries over the past few years, describing the endeavor as one of its major foreign policy strategies. Director of Iran's Nuclear Energy Organization says Iran will not give up its nuclear rights. Speaking to reporters on Sunday, Fredun Abbasi once again reaffirmed Iran's commitment to non-proliferation treaty and the International Atomic Energy Agency. He said, Iran's nuclear program has been used by the Western governments as a pretext to go ahead with traditional hostility with the Islamic Republic. Abbas added the intensified sanctions have nothing to do with Iran's nuclear program. The United Nations has commended Iran's effort in the war on illicit drugs. Executive Director of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime said the production and trafficking of narcotics in Afghanistan endangers the stability of neighboring countries and puts the health of millions of people at risk. Yuri Fedotov added, Iran's effective role in the fight against drug traffickers and the discovery of drugs has been highlighted in all UN reports and assessments. The UN official said Iran has incurred enormous expenses and gained precious experiences in this regard. Fedotov further said, there needs to be a strengthening of drug control maritime cooperation between Pakistan and Iran, as well as other regional players. And here's a recap of the headlines. Iran's foreign minister says Benin can play a leading role in global developments. Iran's oil minister points out that foreign investments in Iran's oil sector stands at $20 billion. Deputy Chairman of Iranian Armed Forces Chiefs of Staff says U.S. is following Iranophobia scenario. Director of Iran's Nuclear Energy Organization says Iran reaffirms commitment to NPT but will not give up its nuclear rights. And UN lauds Iran's effective role in fighting drug trafficking. Now, Syrian president says the ongoing conflict in his country is not between the state and the opposition, but between the nation and its enemies. In a key speech on Sunday, Bashar al-Assad said his government will always extend its hand for dialogue with the opposition and political parties. However, the Syrian president said the government will not have dialogue with puppets made by the West. Assad added that the constitution will be subjected to referendum and that general amnesty will be announced. He warned that there is an agenda to partition Syria, but said the nation is for all, and we all must protect it. The president further said the Geneva Initiative on the transition in Syria was ambiguous, adding, any talk of revolution in Syria is just bubbles of soap. Elsewhere, the Syrian president lauded people in the villages that tried to block the entrance of militants from Turkey, noting that the nation is for those who protect it. Now, Egyptian government has sworn in 10 new ministers in a major cabinet reshuffle to resolve the country's economic and political problems. The key posts that changed hands on Sunday were the country's interior and finance ministers. According to presidential office, four of the new ministers are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. The shake comes as officials from the International Monetary Fund are set to meet Egyptian authorities on Monday to discuss country's economic stance. The North African country's economy nosedived after the revolution that toppled the country's dictator, Hosni Mubarak, in February 2011. A study shows that shooting attacks in the U.S. have killed an average of 18 people every day since the carnage of Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Study indicates that there have been over 406 gun deaths since the Newtown school shooting. However, official sources have tried to report every instance of fatal shootings. The data is still incomplete, meaning the number of gun victims exceeds the 406 figure. The U.S. has experienced several mass killings over the past 6 months. After the Sandy Hook massacre, a Gallup poll found that the majority of Americans would like stricter gun laws and a ban on high-capacity firearms. More than 100,000 Americans have signed an online petition to the White House asking the administration of President Obama for a renewed national debate on gun control. In a drone attack in Pakistan, U.S. drones fired 10 missiles at different targets in the country's northwestern tribal area of South Waziristan on Sunday. At least 16 people have been killed during the incident. According to local media, the drone attacks left at least 7 others injured. On Thursday, 10 people were killed in similar attacks in the Sarkanda area of Burmil in South Waziristan. The killing of Pakistani civilians, including women and children, has strained relations between Islamabad and Washington. Over the past months, massive demonstrations have also been held across Pakistan to condemn the U.S. for violating Pakistan's sovereignty. Twin bomb explosions have hit a meeting of tribal elders in southern Afghanistan, leaving at least 10 people dead and 15 others wounded. The attacks reportedly took place in the Spinbuldak Council building in Kandahar province. On Saturday, a roadside bomb hit a police van in Oruzgan province, leaving 4 commuters dead and another injured. No group has yet claimed responsibility over the attacks, but officials say the militants were behind the move. In the first 6 months of 2012, over 1,140 Afghan civilians were killed and around 2,000 were wounded, mostly by roadside bombs. Economic crisis in Portugal has forced the country to cut skilled labor forces, including many specialists and experts in health ministry. Our correspondent has a scoop from Lisbon.
The huge reduction in overtime affected almost all professional groups in the Ministry of Health. Nurses are the health professionals with the most significant reduction of hours, minus 32.5%. In 2010, 2.5 million had done overtime, and in 2011 were made 1.7 million, which represents a cut of 32.5%. The doctors are the group that did more overtime with 6 million hours in 2011 and that had the lowest with only 1.1 reduction compared to 2010. The group of officers, senior and middle, was the only one which contradicted, with 22.3% of increase in the number of overtime. In 2011, the Ministry of Health reduced by 14% the number of overtime hours, representing a cut of 250 million euros compared to the previous year. Nobody is happy with these cuts in health issues, neither patients or professionals. But the Portuguese government justified these measures with the extreme need to balance the financial account of Portugal. In the end, will these cuts be beneficial to Portugal? Pedro Miguel Silva, Shabaki Kabar, Lisbon.
Indian firefighters have been struggling to bring under control a massive blaze at a fuel storage plant. The incidents happened after 5,000 liters of petrol were ignited near Sarat City in Gujarat state. Officials said due to the strong wind, the fire spread quickly across the facility, where tons of petrol and diesel are kept in tanks. According to local officials, at least 4 workers are still missing. The reason behind the incident is still unknown.
A blast took place at tank number 4 where the blaze started. The fire has completely destroyed the tank.
Elsewhere, firefighters continue to battle bushfires throughout the Australian state of Tasmania on Monday. Police said about 100 people remain missing, with several hundred displaced by the inferno. So far, the fires have burned through more than 120,000 hectares across the state.
We have teams on the ground now, particularly focusing on Dunalley and Boomer Bay today, going through the process of having to go door to door, literally on every fire damaged property. Some are shacks, some are houses, some are outbuildings, and confirming that there are no people that have lost their lives at that particular location.
The fact that we've got many, many kilometres, possibly hundreds of kilometres of uncontrolled fire in very remote and heavily forested country is still going to be problematic for us over the next few days.
We can just see it was like Usain Bolt just...
This bit was the worst for us, all the houses going up there, because it just went in about 5.
And that's a wrap for now. Join us for the latest updates at 2 a.m. local time. Goodbye now.